Welcome to Planes, Trains, and Kids Abroad. I'm your host, Erica Budd, and my goal is to inspire you to travel with your kids to other countries. From single parents to families of eight, each experience is different, and each person provides a different perspective. If you like the show, please leave a podcast review and help other listeners to find the show. And don't forget to check out my award-winning picture book, Travel Rangers Mission to Australia, and take your kids on an adventure to learn about the country and culture of Australia. Trust me, your family will not want to miss augmented reality technology that brings the book to life. Now, let's meet our next guest. Okay, well, today on the show, I am joined by Becky Lingle. Becky is from St. Louis, Missouri. She lives there with her husband and three children. She and her husband backpacked through Europe before they had kids, but they didn't let that stop them. When they had kids, they didn't let it stop them, which I love. They took their daughter to Croatia when she was 2 years old. They traveled again to Germany, Czech Republic, Austria, Slovenia, and Italy last summer. So her daughter was 4 and a half, her son was 2, and she was 28 weeks pregnant at the time, which
Yes. That's
a beast on its own. So you, like, some people think with the young kids, but then you're pregnant on top of that. So my goodness, talk about not letting travel stop you. Becky, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. I love it.
I'm excited to have you on here. I'm excited to hear about Croatia as well, because that's one of those places that I keep hearing pop up, but I don't know a lot about it. So I'm excited when into that as well.
Go. It is gorgeous. Loved it so much.
Yeah. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, because I do want to share, because I'm sure I'm not the only one who doesn't know a lot about Croatia. So I'm going to pick your brain with that. But let's get started. So let's focus kind of on why you're traveling with your kids abroad, because, I mean, they're young, and a lot of people, I see people all the time, no, it's too hard. How do you do this? And I'm going to wait till they're older. So we'll talk about that later. But why take your kids abroad?
So I would say that I started off in the same mindset. Like, I was like, are you crazy? No way. But my husband is the big traveler. He pushed it. He married me and said, hey, this is important to me and I'm going to make it happen. And he forced us with my daughter to go to Croatia, because I was like, you're crazy. We're not taking a 2-year-old internationally. That's outrageous.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
but he said, if we never do it with one, we're never going to do it with two or three. So he was like, let's do it now before we have another child or anything like that. So he pushed us and it was awesome. And I loved it. So definitely do it.
So it was the best kind of force ever.
Yes. Yeah.
Way to go, husband. But you know what? I think that's great that he made it clear when he met you, like, this is a big part of who I am. So just so you know, get on board.
Yeah. And do it. It makes you uncomfortable in the beginning, but then you realize that, like, kids are adaptable and they go with the flow. Whatever is your normal and you're happy, they look at you and realize that it's going to be fine.
Yeah. And that is something that I've heard in the past other people say, you know, how you handle situations, your kids are going to handle situations. It's very similar with travel. But why did you love it so much? I mean, what about, you know, you can go to the lake or, you know, another state or whatever. What about traveling abroad did you like so much? They're young. So what did you get out of it for your kids?
Oh, my gosh. So the biggest thing I loved was watching my daughter interact with other people from around the world that didn't speak her language, but it didn't matter. We would go to parks and they would go, yeah, I want to dig in the dirt too, or, you know, go down the slide, and they would figure it out. You know, she didn't know what language they were talking. They were trying to yell at each other back and forth, but kids are happy to go down slides and on swings and run around with each other. And you realize that, like, it can happen anywhere. And also, like, just the way of life that is different from America, big America with McDonald's and freeways and everything, which is amazing. There's a lot to see here, but it's also just culturally so different to introduce them to something new is really great.
And do you think your kids noticed at all that things were different?
At two, yeah, she definitely knows. She asked, like, why, you know, she couldn't understand them, or that we were eating different. We were going to different places. You know, so she for sure did. And then even when she was older at 4 and a half, she realized that like we had a lot more conversations that like in this place we do different things. And they most people ride the train here, whereas like everyone rides cars there. But it was fun to explain that to them.
Yeah. And so I 100% agree. When I took my son out of the country for the first time, he was 5. And that was my favorite part, was the same thing. We're at the airport and he was playing with a Chinese boy and they just played. And I loved it because they couldn't understand each other. So that was one of my things that I loved when I first traveled with him. I will say that does change when they get older, because we just got back from Spain and he's 9 now. And this time he struggled. I was thinking like the first time, you could play with kid. Like, you're great. Look what you did when you were 5. It is different when they're a little older. He did push himself, but definitely wasn't the same. That's
8 and 9 years old.
But there's one thing to keep in mind that when they're younger though, right? I mean, they're younger and they're adaptable. So they get to have the experience and they're more likely to really get immersed in that when they're younger. Cause when they're a little older, then they start to think about it more. But that's one definitely a benefit of taking them when they're younger, before they are, you know, kind of self-conscious about that. So something for a win for the young ones. Now I know you said you teach them when you travel different countries, you have them learn a couple different phrases in that language, right?
Yes. So my oldest was 4 and a half and 2. And so the amount that they can actually learn is very little. They're still learning a lot of English. We made sure to have them learn how to say thank you and please in every country that we went to, so that they, at least it was, I mean, every restaurant or anytime we got ice cream or things like that, like everyone appreciates a little child trying to say thank you in their language. They think it's sweet and they get excited that they can do it. And we just tell them that this is how someone else speaks in this language and it's nice to say thank you and please.
But it's introducing them to, oh, wow, if I go to different countries, I have to learn a new language. Yeah. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, again, these little things you don't think about. Now, I know one of the things you also liked was your quality time. How would you say it's different quality time, like when you travel abroad versus when you just travel domestically? Do you notice any difference?
Absolutely. So, I mean, when we're home, we have a house. So there's yard work. Every weekends you can have quality time, but there's always, you know, some agenda of some, you know, we got to get to a soccer game or to, you know, go see family, which is awesome. And if that's how people want to travel, then go for it and do it. But you're kind of alone when you're traveling. It's you against the world. And we got to have sun up to sundown, no work, no, you know, other agendas and things that we needed to get to, that like, it was really fun and nice to have that.
Yeah. And I will say it's, cause I try really hard. I'm actually one of those people that does not get the internet when I travel abroad. So even though we were in Spain for a month and I did not do my phone, like the international phone, I didn't want to. Obviously when I hooked up to Wi-Fi when I was back at our apartment or certain public places, but overall I intentionally did that because I wanted to stay disconnected.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the benefits when you travel abroad, is it's easier for you to disconnect. Which is where you get that quality family time. Now, unfortunately, I think with technology nowadays, it's easier to connect if you want to.
Yep.
However, it's easier to disconnect as well when you're international versus domestic. So I think that's definitely a bonus. If you let yourself, it's easier to disconnect because you have to jump through more hoops to stay connected. But the quality time is huge, you know, when you can't be on your, even text messages, you know, like you can't be on your phone texting all the time, or you don't realize that's taking time. And so if you're not doing that, like for me, I'm talking to my son, we're walking, I'm holding his hand, I'm doing that instead of texting as I'm walking, you know? So little reminders like, whoa, this is nice.
Yeah. We do the exact same thing. I don't feel like you need an international plan. Like as far as like what we've just had, like we only did Wi-Fi at, you know, our Airbnbs or things like that, or public places. But for the most part, I mean, we had a very small, data, a little bit that worked, just basically just to get us GPS for if we, you know, wanted to get around. But for the most part, yeah, no texting, no calls, and you were able to do it fine. It's nice.
Yeah. And what I did, which worked really well, is I downloaded my maps offline.
Yes.
So that when I was walking around, since I didn't have any plan at all, so I, you know, pick your city. Now for me, it was easier because I was in one city, but basically you pick what city you're going to, download your offline maps, and it's still, it didn't work for walking, but it works for driving. So yep. I was able to still get anywhere by following that. So I was like, eh, that works for me. But
I forgot about that.
So
we did the exact same thing.
There you go.
I did the
offline. See, it works for people. If you want to stay disconnected, you can do it. And I was by myself. So it's like I by myself with my son. So you can do it and still feel
that's a lot
safe
of work.
Or still feel like you're, I don't know. I feel like if I ever got really stuck, I could just ask people, or there's like certain, a lot of places will have public Wi-Fi if you really need to in emergencies. So,
and okay. By and large, people are nice.
Go ahead.
I was saying by and large, people are nice. They want to help, you know, maybe they roll their eyes at an American or something like that. But for the most part, that's not the experience that we've had. And like, they see a parent that has a kid that needs help. Most people want to help you.
And that is true. Giving people the benefit of the doubt, no matter what country you're in. Yes, they might roll their eyes at you because if you're American, that's just a common thing you get when you travel. Mm-hmm. However, I agree. I think the people are still generally nice and they'll still help you, even if, you know, despite being American.
I think especially with kids too. Yeah,
exactly. So I agree. Okay, so traveling with young children and pregnant.
Yes.
I know you faced some challenges. So what challenges did you face?
We did. So this was kind of a bigger trip. We pushed a lot in a short amount of time. So we only go for about 2.5-3 weeks. And we did a lot of countries. We went to Germany, to Czech Republic, to Austria, Slovenia, Italy. And so we stayed at Airbnbs about every 2-3 days and then picked a new city and got on a train. And that was a lot of stuff. That was a lot of our, we packed very minimally, but you still, I mean, kids are kids. You still have to carry your luggage. You still have to get on and off trains. So doing that, the challenges were for sure picking up, packing everything that we needed, getting onto a public train and going to the next spot was, I would say probably shorten my distance so that we're not on a train for 4+ hours. Cause that's hard with a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. Like you have enough to, you know, entertain them, but after a while they're like, all right, let's get moving. So shorten the distance and longer my stays at the Airbnbs.
So take this last trip that you did. Mm-hmm. What would you have changed? Because you did multiple countries. So if you were to do that trip all over again, knowing what you know now, what would you have done differently?
Oh, I would definitely stay longer at each, because we only stayed like 2 nights in one city. And then we love to see everything. And like, that's like, we have the wanderlust of like, but this country and this city and this city, and like, we want to see it all. But with kids, it really does pay to slow it down and you still see so much. So I would definitely stretch out how long, at least 3 to 4 nights. We still like to move and go different spots. Some would even say 2 weeks, you know, and I get that, but we like to move and shake it.
So you're saying basically a minimum of 3 to 4 nights anywhere you're going when you have kids.
Yes.
Yeah,
for sure. And then shorten the distance for the travel between, because we only did public and public transportation for this one. And it was harder with little ones, having them to stay in a seat for a long train ride and things like that. That was, or get a car, because traveling with kids with cars is nice because you can do your own timeline. You can stop, you can pull off to a park or let them run around outside. Little things like that pay off.
Now let's talk about that. So you mentioned the park. What did you do? I mean, you have 2 little ones. What did you do? Because they're not going to be as interested in seeing a palace. I'm not quite sure what you saw, but they're not going to be as interested in seeing that as you are. So what did you do to keep it so that they weren't driving you nuts? What did you do?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So we start the day super early before, because we mostly do tourist areas, which because They're touristy for a reason. You know, they are beautiful and they're must-sees for a reason, but avoid the crowd at high noon, you know? So we get up at like 6 a.m. and pack little lunches for the kids and get out and go. And as we do it, we find our GPS on our phone. We find little parks as much as we can. And we we like to find parks that have cafes right next to them so the mom and dad can get a coffee. And let the kids run.
That's smart. That's easy to do in Europe.
There's lots. Yeah. That's like one of our favorite things about traveling with kids and letting them run in the park, because you get to enjoy it. Like, it's nice to sit down and just enjoy nature. And then your kids are tired from running around. So it's fun.
No, and that's a good trick. So pretty much you do a thing for you and then find a park, do a thing for you, kind of find a park, like as often as you can find a park so that you're still getting something out of it, but they're getting what they need out of it and tired at the same time.
Yes. And another thing that really helped was we are big advocates for baby carriers. Even with my 4.5-year-old, we have a toddler. She was actually even too big for it, but we made it work for this just one trip, a toddler carrier and another carrier for my 2-year-old. And we just put them on our backs and carried them around. And when they needed a nap, they would pass out on that. And then we would probably hike a little bit more for ourselves and see what we wanted to see with our kids sleeping on our backs. It was a lot of work for us.
But that's a really good point. That's a really good idea because, you know, some people want to take a stroller everywhere, which can be a pain when you're traveling, especially in Europe. I mean, not especially Europe. A lot of countries are not necessarily stroller friendly, or there's just the crowds, or that's a really good point though. When you have a carrier and you could push it, I mean, I can see as she might've been a little bigger, but if you can push it to make it work, then you don't have the complaining of I'm tired, or, you know, they could just pass out. You don't have to worry about the inconvenience of the stroller. So that's a great idea.
Yes, for sure. We did bring a stroller, but like on the days that we were out and about, like we rarely used it. And it was mostly just like on our backs carrying them. And for a few weeks beforehand, we like, because we don't normally use them unless when we're traveling. So a few weeks beforehand, we started taking walks at our house, getting used to it and having them get used to it. But they like it. It's a quick up and down. You just let them jump on your back and then you go. And if they want to get out, sure, you just unbuckle it and let them run.
Are you kidding? My kid's 9 and he still wants me to carry him around. So any chance to get on my back, now he kills me when he's doing it, but he'll have me carrying around on my back all the time. Too funny. No, that's great. That's great. Those are great tips because I didn't necessarily think about that. Now, I know you guys prefer to stay in Airbnbs versus hotels. So why do you like Airbnb so much?
I love them. So just the space. I mean, with little kids, they have naps. They go to bed earlier. I mean, when we're traveling, we don't really have much of a schedule. So we kind of, you know, let it happen as it happens. Sometimes they go to bed at 9:30, which is way later than our 7 o'clock bedtime here. But, you know, it's so nice to be able to go, okay, 2-bedroom, kids go in this room, adults have their own room. And then a lot of times we, like to find places, depending on budget, with a balcony or a patio or some form of outdoor space so that when the kids go to bed, mom and dad can have a bottle of wine outside and enjoy the views of the area that we're in, because we can't go out and have a nightlife, you know, with little ones, which is okay. Yeah. It's a trade-off, but that's our
way. You're making your own nightlife.
Yes. Yeah. It's our own way. I mean, any parent knows that even here, you know, they can't go out all the time. Babysitters are hard to find. So, you know, you make do with what you can.
Now, I really like that. A couple things that you said, because if you wanted that in a hotel, you're going to be paying a lot more, right?
Yeah.
It's hard. Like if you want a 2-bedroom hotel, it's hard to find and it's really expensive. And if you want a balcony on top of that, forget it. Yeah. So I think that's, and a lot of parents are usually trying to cut costs, it's already expensive enough to travel with kids as it is, or travel abroad in general. So I can see that being a real cost savings. I think everybody's go-to is just a hotel, right? That's just a lot of go-tos. Yep. And you hear more people with Airbnb, but I don't think about it for shorter term, like 2 to 4 nights. I don't think about that. So I think it's a good reminder, especially with kids, that you get a lot more. Maybe you have the amenities of a hotel as far as, I don't know, like a bar in the hotel or a restaurant in the hotel or, you know, room service, stuff like that. But if you go to an Airbnb, you have that kitchen that you can make those lunches. You have, and you're saving money there, but you have nap time, and nap time will be so much easier when you could put them down and you can do stuff. Cause I know that's hard when you have little ones and you're putting them on a nap and you're like, what am I going to do now? Yeah. Like I have to,
well, know, in a hotel room,
read a book. Yeah. You can get, you know, go on your phone and read a book, but to be able to actually have a separate room to where you can still have conversations, or I think that's a great idea. And the balcony, I love that because yeah, like you said, you don't get a nightlife. So create your own nightlife. If you have a balcony, get one with a view. And again, you're not paying this astronomical amount just because you're paying for a balcony, because you're like you would in a hotel. You just find a place, an Airbnb place that has an actual balcony patio. So I think those are great ideas. And laundry too, right? Laundry, I mean, you have laundry in Airbnb, which that helps. Like for me, because I knew I had the laundry, I didn't pack anything. You said you bought, you didn't bring that many clothes either.
No, no, we did laundry just about every single night. And then I even packed my own clothespins because most of Europe doesn't have dryers, which is an adjustment. But it's, I love it. They're nice and stiff and they dry, and like, but packing a Tide Pod and a clothespin and doing laundry every night is a huge help with kids.
That's smart. So you packed your own pins just in case they don't have them. And then you just brought Tide Pods, huh? For laundry.
Yep.
Just a few. And that's smart too, because then you don't have to worry about going and buying laundry soap and then carting that around with you everywhere. You could just bring a few Tide Pods, and that's, I imagine, a lot easier. Right.
It is. It is a lot easier. We, when I was backpacking with my husband, we had to do laundry at a laundromat in Germany once. And it was like, we don't know what we're doing. We don't know how to read this and figure this out. So ever since then, I was like, yeah, it's nice to have your own Airbnb and do your own laundry.
I love it. That's great. Great tips. Okay. So let's talk about Croatia. Yes. And again, I don't know a lot about Croatia. So what did you like about it?
Oh man, we loved it. So what we did is we probably did about 2.5 weeks, and we started in the capital, which is Zagreb, and that's in not on the coast. It's in the, in central. And then we rented a car and drove the coast, stopping in a bunch of cities. And then we flew out of the city of Dubrovnik, which is gorgeous. But the whole coastline is just very, very old cities, hills to hike up and climb, views for days, blue water, beautiful. A lot of people do island hopping, and they do sailboats because there's tons of little islands. We did not get to experience that because we had a car, but it was still beautiful to see. And we did we took a little ferry over to an island once to see that. But each city is just, it was so beautiful.
See, I didn't even realize they had island hopping. I didn't even realize they had islands like that. See,
I didn't know either, but it was really amazing to see.
Oh, lovely. Now, would you recommend it for families?
Yes, we had zero problems with our daughter. Everyone was so friendly and so cute. They would give her little sweets and smile and wave at her. They had no problems. I think the only thing would be, it was hard to find a changing table. I don't think we found maybe one or two, but we made it work. You know, that's part of traveling when you just kind of put into a situation and go with the flow. And that and high chairs. But for the most part, with a two-year-old, you just kind of, you make it happen. So.
Now, did you find that mainly in Croatia or throughout Europe? Because I'm not going to lie, I haven't needed a changing table in Europe when I travel. So I don't remember if it was hard to find changing tables throughout.
Yeah, you know, there's not a whole, I mean, we bounced from city to city this last trip. So trying to remember which ones had better, but a few did. A few had changing tables, but definitely was a little harder to navigate and figuring it all out. But that's part of having kids too, is you have to plan your day and make it work. So we're kind of
just something to keep in mind, that don't expect changing tables in all the bathrooms because you're not going to find it probably.
Yeah. Bring a little little pad in your diaper bag and lay them down.
Exactly.
But Europe was also more free. So changing your kid out in a park is a little more acceptable than like, yeah. There's a lot of, you know, kids running around in just undies, which is okay.
Yeah. No, that's a great point. How about food? Because I know that's a hard one for a lot of parents with, you know, young ones.
So we did, any kid likes butter, like noodles, you know. So we would go to grocery stores and buy a bunch of fruit. Apples are great because you don't need to keep them cold and they can be easily carried. We didn't need to cut them up. We would just hand my daughter an apple when we were out and about hiking. But we did, I would just make pasta and put it in a little container, like basically a sandwich and like two other little slots. And I would pack that in her diaper bag and we would go, but we would do noodles, nuts. We noticed that they didn't have a lot of peanut butter. So we did Nutella and jelly, which is a lot more sugar, instead of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I'm sure the kids didn't complain about that.
No, they loved it. And like they quickly adapted. And there's just a lot of little markets that have fruit all the time. And my kids will eat fruit for days. So you made it work.
But that's a good reminder for why you do Airbnbs as well, especially if you have picky eaters, because I'm not even thinking that you did Airbnbs. You don't have to worry about it as much when you have an Airbnb because you obviously you can usually find enough food to where they'll eat what they'll eat, what they recognize at the grocery stores and make it and bring it. So that takes away that problem right there is if you get that Airbnb with that kitchen and refrigerator. So that's a good reminder. Now, So now you traveled to Croatia, Czech Republic, Germany, Austria, Slovenia, and Italy. So what would you say is your favorite so far?
Oh, by far Croatia. It was just so beautiful. Although, yes, it was so, you have to go. The coast is just gorgeous and it's super easy to do. It's not hard to drive. Everything was easy, mostly in English and Croatian. So you could see where you're going and figure it out. And it was just, all the old cities were very, very beautiful.
See, and that's a good thing to know though, as well. Like, do they speak enough English to where you can get around? So I know a lot of people like to, that's how they pick countries as well. It's going to be really hard to communicate. So that's a good point. But I don't think I've ever heard anybody pick another country over Italy, like the people who have been to Italy. So that's great to hear because now it just put Croatia on my list even more.
That is a very, and I love Italy. I love having a bottle of wine and just, I mean, it's beautiful. But no, Croatia was gorgeous and I was not expecting it. My husband was the one that pushed for that one. He knows a lot about traveling and international studies and everything like that. So that was his pick, but hands down for sure.
That's great. You know, I just thought of one more thing. I'm kind of bouncing around, but I was going back to you being pregnant. So you're traveling 28 weeks and you said that you had to get your doctor's permission. Right. Was there anything else that you had to be aware of?
I would say being pregnant, my OB that I had was super, super accepting and nice about it. She said that women have babies everywhere, all over the world. So I basically just had to kind of be aware of like where hospitals were and like be aware of my body. And I knew that I was fit enough and I did a lot of questions and a lot of testing beforehand to be like, am I safe to go? Like, will I be okay? And in general, I was fine. And she, my OB gave me the write-off of like, you're healthy, you're fit. This isn't your first pregnancy. Like, you know your body and people have babies everywhere. So I did not feel unsafe or out of place anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, and I think it's just scary because that's the first thought is what happens if I have, you know, I go into labor or something, what happens? What am I going to do? And it's a good reminder. It's like, we're not the only country in the world that has babies. You know, they have babies all over the world. You're not in a third world, you know, maybe if you're going to a third world country, you might have to worry a little bit more, but if you're not, then there's no reason why you should worry. Yeah. And I think that's a good reminder for health issues in general, right? That you can get sick in other countries just as much or hurt yourself or something. You know, they have doctors, they have pharmacies, they have hospitals, as long as you have insurance, which I'm a big advocate for, travel insurance personally, yes. But the reminder is just that things can happen. Things can happen just like they can happen at home, but the rest of the world, things can happen to them too. So they'll be able to help you. And I think it's just that good reminder. And you proved it with being pregnant and saying, I'm not going to stop. My doctor's right. I can have this baby anywhere if it really comes down to it. So good for you. Okay. So before we kind of wrap up, what do you want to say to those parents who say we're like you? And like me, honestly, that's how I used to be as well. I'm not going to take my kids until they're old enough. They're too young.
Oh my gosh. I would tell them, but you're not too young. You have the memories. Like, it is just incredible to see your daughter, your son, so young, experience the world from their eyes. And like, I will remember that forever. I'll remember my daughter playing in the beaches of Croatia and throwing rocks into the water and running around at different parks and seeing all the new things. Like, I will always have those memories forever and ever. So yes, they might not remember it, but you will, and you can go back and show them pictures, and it pushes them to also, like, we talk about, you know, what it looks like to ride on a plane and how to do this in different areas. So like, even though they might not remember it, I feel like they are learning through experiences and seeing the world it's worth it.
Well, and you kind of point out too that you're having conversations with them that you wouldn't if you weren't traveling the world. You're having conversations about, we speak a different language here, or there was another, you gave something else, another example about, transportation. Yeah, but other places, you know, transportation's different, or, you know, languages and foods are just different things that you're having those conversations. You wouldn't have those same conversations unless you were traveling abroad, right? And while they might not remember having those questions, you're still starting the wheels turning, right? You're still having those conversations. So that's important. Absolutely. To remember. And like you said, I mean, there's nothing wrong. It's like, yes, your kids might not remember it when they're that young. I mean, they probably won't, but look at the memories. There's nothing wrong with saying, yeah, but what great memories I had. I got to play with my kids on the beach in Croatia. You know, I'm never going to forget that memory. So it's funny. Why don't we ever talk about that? What about our memories as parents? You know, it's, okay, fine. They don't have to remember it. I get to do all of this cool stuff with my kids, and I'm never going to forget these memories. And I'll show them pictures one day. But what's wrong with that? We don't really talk about that. That's funny. I never really thought about it until now. But shoot, yeah, I want this memory. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
When
they are old enough, you can go back and talk to them about, like, we pushed you and we did this and you saw all these things, and like, I hope that someday that I can show it to my daughter and my kids that, like, this is where we went. And do you want to go there again? Is what I would hope to, like, so I can show them again, like, here's where we were when you were this age. Like, let's see what's changed and what's different. And
yeah, let's recreate it, which I can totally see happening. I can see kids, like, their whole lives looking through these pages. Like, for me, I don't know what you do, but I like print books with the pictures in it. So, you know, we don't have photo albums anymore like we used to. So I just print books, and my son looks through those every single year. He looks through them. And so they stay fresh in his mind. Like, when we went to Australia, he was 5, but he still looks through the pictures. So he's like, Mom, I remember that. I'm like, you do? But it's because the pictures kind of keep it going. But no, I mean, I would love for, you don't remember it, so let's go. Let's create your own memory from it. You know, I think that's a great point. But I also have a really difficult time believing that, like, your daughter, I have a hard time believing that she's going to forget, oh, they speak different languages in other countries, because the more you travel, then it's something, oh, I had to learn hi, or I have to learn bye, or something like that, or thank you, whatever. I do think those little things, they're little, but they stick. And why is that important? Because they're starting to learn that the world's different. Countries are different. Cultures are different. They're starting to learn. And isn't that what we want? We want our kids to learn that the world is different. There's a whole world out there to explore, you know, and difference is interesting, not bad or wrong, you know? So I think those are things we're instilling when we travel with our young kids too, that we don't think about.
Absolutely. It's worth it. And it's just to see it in their eyes and to, for you to experience too. And they learn so much and to realize that like no one's the same and it's okay. And because when we walk around our neighborhood, it's a nice little subdivision and like all the houses are the same and all the people are the same. And
yep.
Like, that's wonderful and great, but there's so much more to the world.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And you start to open their eyes to that even when they're young. So, oh, Becky, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your experience. I know that I hope that the more that parents hear other parents with young ones, especially people like you who until you met your husband, you're like, nope, I don't want to. Like, and he's like, nope, we're doing it. You know, I mean, you needed that push, but I think you needed that push because you had that mentality of I'm not doing it until they're older. I had that exact same mentality and I'm really grateful that I ended up pushing myself to get past that because I have experiences now that I will never, I mean, now my son's 9 and I look back at when we first started traveling and I love those memories. So I really hope that other parents, the more they hear parents like us that are going with their young kids and enjoying it and not letting, I mean, what would you say? So for example, it's too hard. I mean, for me, it can be hard at home. It can be hard when you're traveling. I mean, I don't know. Do you have anything before we sign off that you say, like to people that say it's just too hard to travel with your young kids?
I mean, yes. So travel is hard. I mean, but so is traveling by road trip, you know, from, you know, Wisconsin to Missouri or, you know, vice versa or whatever. But it's kids are hard and they're always going to be hard. But you make it what you want and you just, it's worth it to see everything and to experience the world. Like you're never going to get that, you know, at the you know, roadside McDonald's. You're not going to see the things you can. And just do it. It's worth it.
Thank you. Yeah. I think the point to remember, and I say this all the time, was that no parents who travel with their kids say it's easy. I don't think there's none of us, I don't think, ever say, yeah, it's the easiest thing you're ever going to do. We'd say it's worth it. It's, you're still a parent no matter where you are. Children are still difficult no matter where you are, but it's still worth it. So, okay, Becky, well, thank you so much, so, so much for joining the show. And where are you guys going next? What's the next trip?
We are planning right now to do Portugal and Spain. So we're going to fly into Lisbon, Portugal, and then fly out of Madrid. So
I am so jealous. I was in Spain and I didn't make it to Portugal and I'm going to make it there. So enjoy it for me. When do you head out?
That'll be next year. So around, just after Christmas. So we're excited.
Well, have a wonderful, wonderful time.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Okay, well, if you enjoyed the show, make sure to follow us on Facebook at Planes, Trains, Kids Abroad to get updates on upcoming podcasts, share your own overseas travel adventures, or ask questions from other parents who have traveled abroad. If you would like to join me as a guest on the show, please sign up at planestrainskidsabroad.com and help me to inspire other families to experience their own overseas travel adventures. I want to thank you for listening to the show and thank Ray Ortiz for providing music for the show. Until next time!